With Montana News, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. Federal and local authorities say Montana's most populous county has seen a sharp increase in violent crimes since the coronavirus pandemic began. U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy said Tuesday that Yellowstone County, which includes Billings, has seen a 20% spike in violent crimes such as murder, robbery, rape, and assault. It's said to be driven by methamphetamine trafficking, substance abuse, and more domestic violence. Almy says that appears to be the trend statewide, including in Missoula County, where he says there was a significant increase in crime the last 2 months. The Trump administration has weakened an Obama-era rule aimed at reducing coal plant pollution that contaminates streams, lakes, and underground aquifers. The changes finalized Monday will allow utilities to use cheaper wastewater cleanup technologies and take longer to comply with pollution reduction guidelines adopted in 2015. It's the latest in a string of regulatory rollbacks for the coal power industry under President Trump. The Environmental Protection Agency says it will save companies $140 million annually. But environmentalists say the move will harm public health and result in hundreds of thousands of pounds of pollutants annually contaminating water bodies. For Montana Public Radio News, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
I'm Charles Bolte. Intensive psychiatric services for youth in Missoula are scarce, but that limited capacity has just expanded. Edward O'Brien reports.
Providence St. Patrick Hospital's brand new 14-bed adolescent inpatient psychiatric unit serves patients ages 12 to 17 who are experiencing significant mental health crises. Those run the gamut from suicidal thoughts and significant depression to eating disorders. Providence Montana's chief executive, Joyce Dombrowski, says the goal is to stabilize these young people enough to get them into preventive outpatient-based treatment. Dombrowski says there's a tremendous need for this service across western Montana.
We have had a 4-bed unit over at the Providence Center that oftentimes is full. When we had the opportunity to relook at a floor in the Providence Center for what we could do to meet a great need, the adolescent inpatient unit, of course, was top of mind.
Dombrowski, who acknowledges she's not a mental health expert, suspects the global pandemic has contributed to an already growing demand for adolescent mental health care services.
We just do know that we were not able to treat these adolescents in this community and had to find alternative placements for them, which is very difficult in these difficult family situations. And so we feel really good about being able to provide it in Missoula.
Dombrowski says Providence's new psychiatric unit is designed to work with, not compete against, other local mental health care providers. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Montana reported 93 new lab-confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus today from over 2,000 test results. Nearly 2,000 people are currently sick with the COVID-19 illness statewide. That includes 140 hospitalized patients. Bighorn, Cascade, Flathead, Rosebud, and Yellowstone counties all report more than 100 active cases. The state has averaged more than 100 new cases per day in the past week. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Charles Bolte.
I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. Federal and state officials announced today a proposed agreement will charge BNSF Railway Company with operation and maintenance of the Libby Asbestos Superfund unit running along its tracks. MTPR's Aaron Bolton has more.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Montana Department of Environmental Quality, and BNSF proposed a consent decree for operable Unit 6, which encompasses 42 miles of right-of-way, along with rail yards in Libby and Troy. BNSF transported vermiculite from the W.R. Grace mine near Libby, spreading asbestos along its tracks. The EPA does not expect any more cleanup work within the unit, and after it's transferred to BNSF for future management, the rail company will be in charge of limiting unauthorized entry and minimizing the potential for the disturbance of soils along its right-of-way. In an emailed statement, BNSF said it's, quote, committed to implementing best practices and ensuring regarding the protection of the community. The consent decree follows a Montana Supreme Court ruling earlier this year in which the court said BNSF could not shield itself from liability for transporting vermiculite contaminated with asbestos. Public comment on the proposed agreement runs through September 30th. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
I'm Charles Bolte. A group in eastern Montana is advocating for the state to invest in more access on the lower Yellowstone River. YPR's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Months after forming, members of the Lower Yellowstone River Coalition have rallied support from community organizers, legislators, and now Montana's governor to establish a new recreational corridor along the lower Yellowstone River. On Friday, Governor Steve Bullock stood on a bridge over the Yellowstone River in Glendive and spoke to a group of 30 people. He brought with him a promise of potential state buy-in through Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks revenue from fishing and hunting licenses.
I've asked FWP to identify $4 million of general licensing funding to be applied to the coalition's project.
Bullock is running for U.S. Senate in the upcoming election, but says he'll put the funding into his proposed state budget. The coalition is seeking $8 million to increase access along 175 river miles between Hysham and the North Dakota border. Community outreach coordinator Christine Whitlatch says the coalition needs state investment to win federal funds.
Hopefully we can get a commitment, and then they can leverage that for matching dollars.
She points to a map of the proposed infrastructure improvements.
You can see where they've put just little things where we need potable water or toilets, where you can see that there needs to be portage trails.
She says the coalition held listening sessions in towns along the project route, including Forsyth, Fairview, and Miles City. Eastern Plains Economic Development Corporation Executive Director Beth Epley from Baker said outdoor recreation is vital to showcasing eastern Montana.
The diversification of our economy through the investment in tourism and recreation is just so essential for who we are and for long-term growth and the strengthening of our community.
The coalition is still trying to get support from legislators. If the funding is approved during the next legislative session, then the state will turn towards conducting the FWP planning process, including seeking public comment for improving access points and opening up new ones. Reporting from Glendive, I'm Kayla DeRoche for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
This is Montana Public Radio.